On the whistling, open your Bibles to Psalm 125. 125. As we continue through the Psalms, Psalm 125, a song of degrees. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. So once again, of course, we see the title of the psalm. It is a psalm of degrees. And now this is the sixth of the 15 Psalms of ascent, or songs of degree. Remember, they're psalms of ascent. These psalms are songs that were sung by the Israelites as they made their pilgrimage to the feasts in Jerusalem three times a year. And these 15 songs were sung, and they're songs of degrees, psalms of ascent. They're taking us up higher and higher. Okay, and this psalm is another step taken higher. Faith, we realize faith in other psalms. We have seen faith has praised the Lord for past deliverance, but here it speaks of present and future deliverance. The eye is on the future. So what we see here in this psalm is not praising God for some delivery that has happened, but he's praising God for future deliveries, because his faith knows, the psalmist's faith knows, that with the Lord, faith in the Lord, he is safe and secure. Okay? So he's praising God for what hasn't even happened yet, but he knows it will happen. So the psalmist has concluded that the believer is forever secure and therefore safe. Okay? And one of the great truths we believe today is the security of the believer and the security of our salvation. And that's a wonderful truth to know and to be assured of, that if you truly have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are eternally secure. We thank the Lord for that. A couple of words to help us understand this psalm a little better. Mount Zion, okay? You'll notice in verse 1, Mount Zion is mentioned. It is one of the hills upon which Jerusalem sits. So Mount Zion and Mount Moriah are the two mounts that Jerusalem sits upon. Okay, Zion came to be used for the whole of Jerusalem. So a lot of times you'll hear just Zion mentioned. When Zion is mentioned, it is speaking of Jerusalem. This comes from my Bible dictionary I have. The rabbis say that there are 60 different names for Jerusalem in the Bible. Okay, and Zion is the most frequently used name after Jerusalem. So, of course, it's called Jerusalem the most, but after that, the most frequently used name is Zion. So, we're going to Zion. We're marching to Zion. You know, it's speaking of Jerusalem. Removed in verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. That word removed means slip, shake, or fall. Okay? And then the word abideth, but abideth forever, literally means to sit down, to dwell, to be settled, to be settled. So the idea here from verse 1 is that the psalmist, because of his faith in the Lord, he will not be moved. He'll be settled down there and protected. Did you just turn this down a little bit? Did you turn this down a little bit?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Because it sounds to me like it went down, but that's good. That's fine.
Optimizing.
Okay, here we go. All right, I just wanted to make sure the batteries didn't go dead. Verse 2, round about. As the mountains are round about. Okay, this is not the things we drive around on the road, the roundabouts, you know, up here in New Hampshire. Where I come from in New Jersey, they call them traffic circles, not roundabouts. But roundabouts mean to circle, of course, or to be a neighbor, okay? As the mountains are neighbors to Jerusalem, okay? As the mountains encircle Jerusalem. Rod in verse 3, for the rod of the wicked, is another word for scepter. So this is speaking of government, okay? The government of the wicked, the governments of the wicked. And lot means portion, okay? For the rod of the wicked shall rest upon the portion of the righteous. Upright means straight in verse 4. Upright in heart, it means straight. And then verse 5, turn aside, for such as turn aside. This means to stretch. So it's to make effort to get out of the right way, okay? To turn aside. And it's only used here. And in Judges 5, 6, you don't have to turn there, but it's translated byways there. And they had to go on the byways, not the main highways, but the byways. And crooked ways mean winding, okay? So just a couple words to help us understand this a little bit better. The outline, it outlines into three parts. The first stanza, verse 1, he speaks of security. The second stanza, verses 2 and 3, he's secure because he is surrounded. And then verses 4 and 5, a prayer to the one who surrounds. Okay? Remember, this psalm is all about safety and security. And the faith that the psalmist has in God, and he knows he'll always be safe and secure. The safest place to be is right where God wants you to be. I remember many years ago, Sandy and I were not married too long, so probably going back 30 years, there was a missionary girl that came through our church. I'll never forget her name. Her name was Nancy Rulison, and she was going to be a missionary in South Africa, Johannesburg. And at the time, apartheid was very big, and Johannesburg was the most unsafe city in the world at the time. And she was a single missionary going there. And her mother said, "You cannot go to Johannesburg." And she said, "That's where the Lord wants me to go. And the safest place for me to be is right where the Lord wants me to be." She said that at that time, people actually planted landmines in their front yard to keep the burglars and robbers out of the house. So her mother, of course, was panicking. She went. She came home. Was fine. No problem. She stayed there for quite a few years. She did come off the field. She got married and stayed in America. But I have not seen her in many, many years. But who was she trusting in? The Lord. You know, and she was safe and secure. And so I always think about Nancy and when I think about somebody who trusts the Lord. So verse 1, the first stanza, look at verse 1, please. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. So in this first stanza, the psalmist praises God for his security. And they that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. You know, who can move a mountain? Okay, this is long before the days of... earth movers, you know, equipment like that and dynamite, you know, who could move a mountain? But they're settled down forever. It is trust in the Lord which makes us to not even slip. When we trust in the Lord, we have firm footing, you know. And this isn't talking about literally walking and fall, but it's talking about, you know, our faith slipping. It doesn't even happen when we trust in the Lord. And it is trust in the Lord that makes us absolutely. Look at a familiar passage, 3, which for those of you reading through the Proverbs, tomorrow we will be reading this, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Of course, we know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he what? He'll direct your path. He'll make your feet straight. He'll make your path straight. Please turn with me, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Trust. Those that believe. For those who trust in the Lord, there's security, there's safety. So, friends, don't trust in government. Don't trust in, you know, anything other than the Lord. Because everything else will let you down. But the Lord will never let you down. Don't look for your security. Don't even look for... I know some of you folks are on social, what do they call it? Social security, okay? When the government has their fingers in it, it's not too secure. So don't be trusting it. Trust in the Lord, okay? Trust in the Lord. Always trust in the Lord. Second stanza, verses 2 and 3. It says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth. Shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. So in this second stanza, the psalmist is secure because he's surrounded by the Lord as the hills surround Jerusalem. The physical formation of Jerusalem made them think that they were invincible, for it could only be reached from the north. Okay, you'll remember in AD 70, not that you'll remember that, but you'll remember from history, in AD 70, the Roman general Titus destroyed Jerusalem. And reading up on that, the reason he was able to destroy it was because he already had men on the inside. So they didn't have to, you know, because it was a very secure city. Back when Nebuchadnezzar and others, they seized Jerusalem, you know, because they couldn't get there. And what is a siege? You starve the people out. So it was an easy city to defend because of its position. The mountains and the valleys made it almost impenetrable. And today, the valleys have changed. And why is that? Because of years of building and destruction, some of the valleys aren't as deep as they used to be, okay? But back in biblical times, especially Old Testament, these valleys were huge. So again, to the east is the Kidron Valley. And Kidron means dark or shady. It separates Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, okay? And it's shady, and reading up the history on this is where people would often go in the heat of the day to cool off a little bit, okay? Because of the shade. To the west is the Tyrophian Valley, which literally means the Valley of the Cheesemakers. What do you think there was a lot of around there? Okay, goats and cheese shops. Okay, farmer, you know, goat farmers. It is the valley that separates Mount Moriah from Mount Zion. It was also called the Outer Valley. Okay, so that is another valley. And to the south is Gehenna Valley, meaning to burn, and that's why Gehenna is another word for hell, okay? It is also called the Hinnom Valley in the Old Testament. By Jesus' day, it was called the Gehenna. Sadly, it got that name because this is where the children of Israel offered their children as burnt sacrifices to Moloch. Turn to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah, after Isaiah, before Ezekiel, Jeremiah 7, 29. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation of high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. For they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. So in the Old Testament, it was called the valley. In the New Testament, it was called Gehenna. And it was the valley where the refuge dump was in New Testament times, and they burned their garbage, so it was always burning. There was always fires there. And that's why it became an illustration for hell. Okay, and this is also where Judas... Okay. And then, so that's the three valleys. But the Lord surrounds the one who trusts him even more than the mountains protect Jerusalem. For there is no direction from which evil can approach a believer. For no separate portion of the righteous, those who trust in the Lord are always overcomers. Turn to 1 John. While you're turning there, it's interesting, since satellite images started coming out, there is a Bible verse talks about how God has put his name over Jerusalem. And if you look from the satellite at the three valleys, okay, and the way it surrounds Jerusalem, it's exactly like the first letter of God's name in the Hebrew. And people take that literally then. God has written his name there. So these valley, again, not anymore because of, you know, years of building and construction and destruction, but in that time. Where did I say to go? Oh, 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 13. Speaking about overcomers, 1 John 2, 13. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have what? Overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So again, we overcome by faith. Verse 4, chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 4, popular verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So faith is so important for us to have, because not only does our faith in God make us safe and secure, but it helps us to overcome, okay? Overcome our enemies. And that's what the psalmist said here. It's because of faith in God that we can overcome our enemies. And then in the third and final stanza, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel." So the psalmist here offers a prayer to the Lord because he surrounds those who trust him and makes them secure. The psalmist prays to the one who surrounds him that he will do good to those who are good and who are upright in heart. Now, what's the problem? How many people are good? Turn to Romans. Somebody ever ask you this question? Hey, how you doing? You go, "I'm good." And then they answer back, "There's none good." I hate people that do that. I know there's none good, but, you know. Romans 3:12. "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So why would the psalmist say, "Lord, you do good to those who are good"? Well, I believe the answer is found in verse 21 of Romans 3. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So, how does one who's not good become good? Faith in Christ, and then his righteousness is imputed unto us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So, if you want to be safe, if you want to be secure, place your faith in God. Don't place your faith in anything else. God will never, ever let you down. Never. He never has let anybody down. He never will. But to those who turn aside into the byways, they shall be led forth with the workers of iniquity. Look at 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall" what? "Turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." We're living in those days. Okay? People are turning their ears away from the truth. We should be speaking the truth, but today, friends, truth doesn't sell. People don't want the truth. Look at Hebrews 12:25. Speaking about the children of Israel, an example there. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." So again, we don't want to be the ones who turn away. We want to be the ones who have faith, who trust in God. And then we will be the ones who are safe and secure. And again, there's no particular incident that's mentioned here in the psalm. The psalmist is just praising God for deliverance. Deliverance that he knows is going to come. And then he ends with a prayer for the peace to be upon Israel. So again, notice we're ascending. Every one of these psalms is bringing us higher and higher, you know, and closer to God. And that is the idea of these psalms. So tonight when we pray, may we thank and praise the Lord for his continual watch care and protection that he offers. And remember, those who trust the Lord are always safe and secure. So take the opportunity to read Psalm 126 this week, once a day, for the whole week. That'll help us prepare for it for next week. So we're going to do things a little different.